Chapter 8. After the commencement of the new year, 1835, he lectured during the first week of January in Addison, Vermont, and the second in Cornwall, Vermont. He then returned home, where he remained till the 12th of February, writing on the 11th to Elder Hendricks as follows: "The Lord opens doors faster than I can fill them. Tomorrow I have an appointment in Whiting which will occupy a week. The next week I shall be in Shoreham. The last week in this month at Bridgeport. The first week in March in Middletown. The second in Hoosac. I have calls from Shroon, Ticonderoga, Moriah, Essex, Chazy, Champlain, Plattsburgh, Peru, Moortown, Canton, Potsdam, Hopkinton, Stockholm, Parishville, and other places too numerous to mention. The Lord has blessed me thus far. In almost every place where I have lectured, the Spirit has given fruit. Where I went forth expecting trials and persecution, I have found God a present help. Pray for me, that my faith fail not, and that I may ever feel my weakness, and that my dependence may be on Israel's God. Pray that I may do my duty in the fear of God and in the love of the truth, and then, whatever may become of me, God will be glorified and souls saved." After filling the two former of those appointments, he returned home till the 8th of March, when he lectured in Bridgeport, Vermont, 3 days, and gave 6 lectures. He lectured in Granville on the following Sabbath, March 15th, and again returned home. It seems to have been his intention, when he left home on the 7th of March, to have returned to Whiting, he having received an invitation to that effect. A powerful work of grace had followed his lectures there, and several infidels had acknowledged the authenticity of the Scriptures as demonstrated by the fulfillment of prophecy, and were under deep conviction and wished to see him. Whether he went there or not does not appear, but on the 21st of March he writes, "I have been very sick with a cold for a day or two past, and I am only able to sit up for a short time." On the 19th of April he again visited Granville, where he also lectured on the 20th and 21st. On the 26th, he lectured at Middletown, New York. On the 28th, he again wrote from Loehampton, "I have been laid up with a severe cold, and have been only to 2 or 3 places since I wrote last, March 21st. But I have now recovered my health again, so that I have been the last 2 weeks at Granville and Middletown. Next Sunday, May 3, I am to be at Fort Ann Village, New York, if the Lord will. And when I shall get through lecturing in this region, I cannot tell. Doors open faster than I can fill them. I have calls from Wells, Bishop's Corner, and Tynemouth." These lectures and sermons of Mr. Miller met the approval of a large number of the ministers of his denomination, with whose approbation, from this time, he went forth as a public laborer, endorsed and sanctioned by the following certificate: March 19, 1835, this may certify to whom it may concern, that we, whose names are hereunto affixed, being ministers in the denomination of regular Baptists, are personally acquainted with Brother William Miller, the bearer of this certificate, that he is a member and a licentiate, in good regular standing, in the particular Baptist church in Hampton, New York, that we have heard his lectures on the subject of the second coming and reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we believe his views on that particular subject, as well as others pertaining to the gospel, are worthy to be known and read of all men. As such an one, we commend him to God and the affectionate acceptance of our brethren in the precious Savior. J. Sawyer, Jr., South Reading; E. Halping, Hampton; Amos Stearns, Fort Ann; Emerson Andrews, Lansingburg. June 28, 1836. Having heard the above-mentioned lectures, I see no way to avoid the conclusion that the coming of Christ will be as soon as 1843. R. S. Palmer, Stockholm, New York. Joel H. Green, Parrishville. Silas Pratt, Nicholsville. Wareham Walker, Shaftesbury, Vermont. Edward B. Crandall, Lansingburg, New York. James Tenbrook, Panton, Vermont. Edward Mitchell, Canada. Samuel B. Ryder, Jr., Canada. S. C. Dillaway, West Granville, New York. Wakeman G. Johnson, Whiting, Vermont. B. Carpenter, Addison. J. Fuller, Pulteney. Holland Turner, Plattsburgh. A. Jones, Jr., Middlebury. Anthony Case, Cornwall. Albert Stone, Johnston. Prosper Powell, Troy, Vermont. Samuel Marshall, Fort Ann, New York. Isaac Westcott, Stillwater. William W. Moore, Bristol. Edward S. Soulard, Middletown. I do cordially recommend the above and its bearer, Brother Miller. George Norris, Granville. Jehiel K. Wright, Weybridge. M. D. Miller, Moncton. Simon Fletcher, Bridgeport, Vermont. John A. Dodge, Ferrisburg. Elias Hurlbut, Andover, Vermont. Samuel Pollard, Weston. Edmund Goodnow, Agent BGTS. Arura Allen, West Haven. Hiram Safford, Keysville. Friend Blood, Brookfield. Benjamin Willard, East Williamstown. Lyman Culver, Barr. Isaiah Huntley, Jericho. John Lord, East Randolph, Massachusetts. James M. Beeman, Westford, Vermont. Oliver Eyer, Littleton, Massachusetts. The above I certify to be a true copy of an original ministerial recommendation signed by the above-named persons. The sentiments I believe correct and according to the Word of God. I think it will be fulfilled in 1843 or thereabouts. Justice DeLee, Cambridge. After visiting Fort Ann, New York, on the 3rd of May, he lectured in Whitehall, New York, on the 10th and 17th of the same month, in West Haven on the 7th of June, and in Middlebury, Vermont, on the 14th. From that place, he went into the province of Lower Canada and lectured on the 21st and 23rd at Bolton, the 25th at Hutting, the 28th, 29th, and July 1st at Derby, July 2nd at Georgeville, the 5th and 6th at Bolton again, the 7th at Outlet, and the 8th and 9th at Stanstead Plain. On the 12th, he lectured at Derby, Vermont, the 13th at Troy, Vermont, the 14th at Lowell, Vermont, the 15th at Eden, Vermont, the 16th at Cambridge, Vermont, the 17th at Jericho, Vermont, and the 19th at Orwell, Vermont. During this tour, while in Canada, a woman placed $2 half-dollars in his hand, which was all the assistance he received previous to 1836. His expenses for travel, etc., were paid from his own funds. On his way home from Canada, he was much depressed in his spirits. To use his own words, he was overwhelmed with a dark cloud for which he could not account. He felt impelled to hasten home with a presentiment that there was trouble there. Leaving Jericho, Vermont, instead of filling several appointments, he took the nearest route and hastened home with all speed. Calling at Orwell, by the urgent request of his Uncle Phelps, he stopped to speak at the church on the Sabbath, leaving immediately after service for home, where he arrived late at night. His family were astonished to see him return so soon, and he was delighted to find them all well. At an early hour on Monday, he went to visit his mother, to take to her a present from her daughter in Canada. His mother lived about half a mile from Mr. Miller's, with her son Solomon. He found her in the enjoyment of good health, and he spent the day with her, returning home unusually interested with his visit. His mother did not receive his views, but always told him to preach the whole truth as he believed it and do his duty. Soon after Mr. Miller had left his mother, she was seized with the palsy. Mr. M. was sent for. She was unable to converse any, but by the pressure of the hand signified that she knew him, and before the close of the week expired. Had not Mr. Miller been impressed with a sense of trouble at home, he would have taken a more circuitous route and filled several appointments according to previous arrangements. By thus changing his original purpose, he enjoyed the opportunity of a day's conversation with his mother, which he would otherwise have been deprived of. He often recurred to this as a signal instance of God's favor. On the 2nd of August, he lectured at South Bay, New York, on the 9th at Dresden, New York, and on the 23rd at South Bay again. On the 28th, he again writes from Loehampton to Elder Hendricks as follows. I am yet engaged in warning the inhabitants to be prepared for the great day of God Almighty, and am endeavoring to prove by the Scriptures that it is near, even at the doors. I always present this as an inducement for men to repent. I call on them in the name of my dear Master to turn, repent, believe, and obey Him. I beseech them, for the value of their souls, to believe in Christ. I implore them to lay up treasures in heaven. I importune with them again and again to read, reflect, examine, and see if the Word of God is not true. I show them its complete fulfillment thus far, and then I pray God to direct the arrow to the heart. I ask God, through Jesus Christ, to nerve the arm that pulls the bow and to sharpen the arrow that twangs from it. I then put all my confidence in God and in His promise, Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world. I have this moment received a letter from Brother Westcott, the Baptist clergyman, to be at Stillwater next Sabbath, August 30th, and I shall be under the necessity of leaving in a few minutes. I shall be absent until about the 1st of October. My good old mother Miller is dead. She died about 4 weeks since. The rest of us are all in good health. Yours in gospel bonds, William Miller. He visited Stillwater, New York, according to invitation, and continued there 1 week, lecturing each day. On the 13th, he was at Bristol. On the 1st of November, he visited Middletown, New York, and gave a course of 8 lectures. He then lectured again 5 days at Bristol, commencing on the 15th of November, and beginning on the 29th, he labored 5 days longer at Middletown, usually giving 2 lectures each day. On the 6th of December, he was at Whitehall, New York, on the 20th at Pulteney, Vermont, and on the 27th at West Haven. This terminated his labors for the year 1835. On the 3rd of January, 1836, he lectured at a Brother Aborn's, on the 24th at Dresden, New York, on the 7th of February at Fort Ann Village, New York, on the 13th of March at Orwell, Vermont, and on the 14th at Shoreham, Vermont. His public lectures during these winter months were interrupted by the preparation of his course of 16 lectures for the press, which were published in Troy, New York, in the spring of this year by Elder Westcott. All the copies of that edition supplied to Mr. Miller he purchased at the regular prices. On the 24th of April, he again visited Stillwater, New York, and on the 15th of May, New Haven, Vermont. On the 16th, he commenced a course of lectures at Weybridge, Vermont, which closed on the 20th. On the day following, he began his labors at Moncton, New York, which continued 8 days. On the 19th of June, he visited Lansingburg, New York, and continued till the 26th. To pay his stage fare, he received on this occasion $4, which with the 2 half-dollars received in Canada was all the remuneration he had thus far received for his expenses. Subsequent to that time, as he says in his Apology and Defense, he never received enough to meet his expenses of travel to the places where he was invited, so that his public labors were never of any pecuniary advantage to him, as has been currently reported and believed. But, on the contrary, they were a heavy tax on his property, which gradually decreased during that period of his life. On the 21st of July, he writes from Loehampton to Elder Hendricks, I have been confined at home for 3 weeks past by a bilious complaint. I was taken unwell while lecturing at Lansingburg, New York, but I finished my course of lectures and returned home and have not been well since. My lectures were well received in that place and excited attention. The house was filled to overflowing for 8 days in succession. I feel that God was there and believe that in His glorified kingdom I shall see the fruits. Infidels, deists, universalists, and sectarians were all chained to their seats in perfect silence for hours, yes, days, to hear the old stammering man talk about the second coming of Christ and show the manner, object, time, and signs of His coming. Oh, my brother, it makes me feel like a worm, a poor, feeble creature, for it is God only who could produce such an effect on such audiences. Yet it gives me confidence, for I solemnly believe it is truth, and God will support His word and will be present where it is preached, however feeble the instrument, for lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Therefore, if I were preaching before all the kings of the earth, why should I fear? For the King of kings is with me. If all the lords were there, yet He is Lord of lords and of the great men of the earth. Mr. Miller again lectured in Dresden, New York, on the 7th of August, in Orwell, Vermont, on the 11th of September, and in Keysville, New York, on the 18th. He then gave courses of lectures beginning at Lawrence, New York, on the 22nd, Stockholm on the 29th, Parrishville on the 7th of October, Messina, New York, on the 14th. He gave 10 lectures at Fort Covington, New York, beginning on the 20th, and was at Chateauguay, New York, on the 27th. This terminated his labors for the year 1836. In allusion to these last visits, he wrote on the 23rd of December, "I have not visited a place where the Lord has not given me one or two souls for my hire. I have spent 8 weeks at St. Lawrence County and delivered 82 lectures this fall. Next week I am going to Shaftesbury and vicinity." He visited Shaftesbury, Vermont, the 23rd of January, 1837, and gave his full course of 16 lectures. At the close of one lecture, a Baptist clergyman arose and stated that he had come there for the purpose of exposing the folly of Mr. M., but had to confess that he was confounded, convicted, and converted. He acknowledged that he had applied various unhandsome appellations to Mr. Miller, calling him the end-of-the-world man, the old visionary, dreamer, fanatic, and for which he felt covered with shame and confusion. That confession, evidently so honest, was like a thunderbolt on the audience. Very few particulars of interest have been gathered respecting his labors during the year 1837. According to his memorandum book, he lectured in Wells, Vermont, on the 3rd of February, in Shrewsbury, Vermont, on the 3rd of March, in Andover, Vermont, from the 5th to the 12th of March, in Weston, Vermont, 4 days, beginning with the 13th, in Mount Holly, Vermont, on the 17th, in Orwell, Vermont, on the 23rd of April and 7th of May, in Danby, Vermont, on the 14th of May, in Pulteney, Vermont, 8 days, beginning with the 21st of May, in Orwell, again, on the 4th of June, in North Springfield, Vermont, from the 11th to the 17th, in Ludlow, Vermont, from the 19th to the 21st, in Mount Holly, Vermont, from the 25th of June to the 2nd of July, in Orwell, Vermont, on the 9th of July, at Fairhaven, Vermont, from the 11th to the 20th, in Whiting, Vermont, on the 23rd, in Fairhaven, Vermont, on the 13th of August, in Moriah, Vermont, from the 14th to the 22nd of October, in Ludlow, Vermont, from the 29th to the 6th of November, and at Stillwater, New York, on the 31st of December. With the 1st of January, 1838, he commenced a second course of lectures at Lansingburg, New York, in compliance with the urgent request of the Baptist Church in that place and of E. B. Crandall, their pastor. The lectures continued 9 days and were listened to by crowded and attentive audiences. The result also was most heart-cheering. Infidelity had several strongholds in that neighborhood, and many of that class attended his lectures and were greatly affected by them. In a letter dated on the 25th of that month, 2 weeks after the close of the lectures, a gentleman of that place writes to Mr. Miller, "I have never witnessed so powerful an effect in any place as in this on all who heard. I am of the opinion that not less than 100 persons who held infidel sentiments are brought to believe the Bible. Infidelity is dumb in this place, as if frightened, and converts are many." The following testimony of one who was converted from infidelity during these lectures is copied from the Boston Investigator, an infidel paper, of January 1845. "Mr. Editor, I was a warm supporter of the views of Abner Kneeland, attended his lectures and protracted dances, disbelieved in divine revelation and a future existence, and fully accorded with Mr. Kneeland's views of religion. Having read every work of note that I could obtain, and having heard many lectures opposed to God and the Bible, I considered myself prepared to overthrow the Christian faith, and feared no argument that could be brought from the Bible. With these feelings, I attended a full course of Mr. Miller's lectures. He gave his rules of interpretation and pledged himself to prove his position. I approved of his rules, to which I refer you, and the result was, he established the fact that the Bible is what it purports to be, the Word of God, to my mind, beyond a doubt, and I have taken it as the man of my counsel. I notice your doubts of the truth of the statement in relation to hundreds of infidels being converted under the preaching of Mr. Miller. This may possibly be owing to your never having given Mr. Miller a candid and thorough hearing. He is a man mighty in the Scriptures, and has done terrible execution in the ranks of the king's enemies with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I am personally acquainted with nearly 100 who held to similar views with Abner Kneeland, who were converted under the preaching of Mr. Miller, and we did not yield the point without a struggle, nor without due consideration. Each and every prop and refuge of infidelity and unbelief were taken away from us, and our sandy foundation was swept by the truth of the Almighty as chaff is driven by the wind. Yet we parted with them much as a man parts with a diseased tooth. We tried to cure and keep it there, and when made to know that the root and foundation was rotten, it was painful to part with, but we rejoiced and felt better after the separation, for there is balm in Gilead, there is a physician there." Lansingburg, New York, January 1845. On the 14th of January, Mr. Miller lectured at West Haven, New York, and 2 weeks from that day at Loehampton, New York. On the 4th of February, he commenced a course of lectures at Pantom, Vermont, which he continued 8 days. He then returned to West Haven, New York, and lectured 7 days, beginning February 18th. On returning to Loehampton, he found the following letter from Reverend Charles Fitch, pastor at the Marlborough Chapel, Boston. It was the beginning of an acquaintance between those dear brethren in Christ, and as such will be read with interest by all. Boston, March 5, 1838. "My dear brother, I am a stranger to you, but I trust that, through the free sovereign grace of God, I am not altogether a stranger to Jesus Christ, whom you serve. I am the pastor of an Orthodox congregational church in this city. A few weeks since, your lectures on the second coming of Christ were put into my hands. I sat down to read the work, knowing nothing of the views which it contained. I have studied it with an overwhelming interest, such as I never felt in any other book except the Bible. I have compared it with Scripture and history, and I find nothing on which to rest a single doubt respecting the correctness of your views. Though a miserable, guilty sinner, I trust that, through the Lord's abounding grace, I shall be among those that love His appearing. I preached to my people 2 discourses yesterday on the coming of our Lord, and I believe a deep and permanent interest will be awakened thereby in God's testimonies. My object in writing you, my dear sir, is twofold. First, will you have the kindness to inform me by letter in what history you find the facts stated that the last of the 10 kings was baptized AD 508, and also that the decree of Justinian, giving the Bishop of Rome power to suppress the reading of the scriptures, was issued in 538. All the other data which you have given I have found correct, and I know of no reason to doubt your correctness in these. But as I have not been able to find a statement of those facts, you will do me a great favor by just informing me where I may find them, and I shall then feel prepared to defend the truth and to point others to the right source of information. There is a meeting of our ministerial association tomorrow, and as I am appointed to read an essay, I design to bring up this whole subject for discussion and trust that I may thereby do something to spread the truth. My second object in writing was to ask if you would put me in the way to obtain a dozen copies of your lectures. I know of none to be obtained here. I know of several individuals who are very desirous to obtain the work, and if you can tell me of any place where it can be obtained in this city or in New York, you will greatly oblige me. If you can give me any information of importance on the subject not contained in your book, I should greatly rejoice, because, as I stand a watchman on the walls, I wish to give the trumpet a certain sound, and to make that sound as full and explicit and convincing as possible. Yours in the faith of Jesus Christ, Charles Fitch. On the 12th of March, Mr. M. commenced a course of lectures and continued 8 days at Benson, Vermont. Previous to this, he had received urgent requests from the Reverend Mr. Hill of the First Church in Troy, New York, and Reverend Mr. Park of the Church in West Troy, uniting with their respective churches for a course of lectures in each place, and they were expected in West Troy to have been commenced previous to those in Benson, Vermont. Their disappointment and the great anxiety of ministers and people at that period to secure his services may be judged of by the following letter from the pastor of the church in that place. West Troy, March 12, 1838. William S. Miller, Esquire. Dear Sir, I received a line from you dated March 1st and was glad to hear that Father Miller had concluded to visit West Troy on Saturday last. With much anxiety, all looked forward to that day, expecting the privilege of hearing something upon the subject of Christ's second coming. But alas, we are disappointed. Dear Sir, I write these few lines, letting you know something of the state of feeling in this place upon the subject of Mr. Miller's lectures. In the street, in the house, in short, wherever almost you meet an individual, the first thing is, has Mr. Miller come yet? When is Mr. Miller going to be here? What is the reason he does not come, etc.? If the old gentleman can possibly come down to West Troy, I wish him to come as soon as possible. I hope he will not delay. I think we have a little claim upon him, if our wishes may be brought into account. Dear sir, upon the reception of this, please write me the reason of the disappointment. Also, when he will come, if at all, that I may give an answer to them that ask. Yours in haste, Frederick S. Park. At the same date, Mr. Miller's son received a letter from Troy, New York, stating that Reverend Mr. Hill is at present very anxious, and most of his church, for your father to come to East Troy first, and he has undertaken a negotiation with Elder Park for your father to visit them half of the time. In compliance with these urgent requests, he commenced a course of lectures at West Troy, New York, on the 8th of March, and continued till the 15th, when he began in East Troy, where he continued till the 25th. These were attended with happy results. In March of the next year, the Reverend Mr. Park wrote Mr. Miller as follows. It is my privilege to say that God in mercy is doing a great work in West Troy. old and young and middle-aged, are alike made the happy recipients of grace. The Dutch Reformed Church are enjoying an interesting state of things. The Methodists are full of the Spirit, and the Baptists are pressing on in the good cause. Praise the Lord! A number date their awakening to your lectures on the second coming of Christ. You have great reason to rejoice that God is pleased to make you the honored instrument of awakening poor sinners. Previous to these lectures, he had received the following urgent request from Reverend Emerson Andrews of the Baptist Church in Rome, New York. Rome, New York, March 20, 1838. Dear Brother Miller, we have heard something of you and yours, and want to see you here in person and hear your whole course of lectures. I feel as if the time had arrived for you to preach the gospel at Rome also. There is more attention to religion now than formerly, and some anxiety. The desire to hear from you is very great. We want you to come immediately, the first Sunday if possible. Don't, I beg you, make any delay or excuse, but come right off. I want you to be here before the time, if possible. Engagements at Troy made it necessary to defer compliance with the above till they were attended to. After a few days' rest, he visited Rome, New York, began his lectures there on the 6th of May, and continued till the 16th. In the absence of any journal or of any reference to these lectures in any of the letters preserved by him, their results cannot be here recorded. In June following, he again visited his friends in Canada East and lectured at Outlet on the 10th and 11th, and at Bolton from the 12th to the 14th, returning home before the end of the month. After this, he gave courses of lectures commencing on the 26th of August at Braintree, Vermont, on the 16th of September at White Creek, Vermont, on the 3rd of October at Pittsfield, Vermont, on the 7th at Randolph, Vermont, and on the 16th at Brookfield, Vermont. This last course was given at the urgent request of Reverend Jehiel Claflin and the Baptist Church in that place. As early as the 26th of June, Mr. C. wrote him, "There are great many people in this and the adjoining towns who are very anxious to hear you lecture on the subject of the millennium." And on the 16th of July he wrote, "I received your favor of the 30th, and read the same with much delight, to find that you could gratify the wish of so many friends in this and the adjacent towns. I read your letter in meeting yesterday to my congregation, and some being present from abroad, I consulted them according to your request, and found an increasing anxiety in their minds that you should come and lecture in this vicinity or nearby." On the 7th of November, he commenced a course of lectures at Montpelier, Vermont, which he continued there and in the neighborhood till the 23rd. On the 17th, he writes from that place to his son, "There is great excitement on the subject in this place. Last night we had a solemn and interesting meeting. There was a great breaking down and much weeping. Some souls have been born again. I can hardly get away from this people. They want me to stay another week, but I shall go to the next village on Monday. Mr. Kellogg, the congregational minister here, is a good man, and his church are living Christians. Montpelier is quite a considerable village and contains some very intelligent people who appear to listen with much interest. This afternoon I meet the citizens and am to give them an opportunity to ask questions and state objections. May God help me to give his truth. I know my own weakness, and I know that I have neither power of body nor of mind to do what the Lord is doing by me. It is the Lord's doings, and marvelous in our eyes. The world do not know how weak I am. They think much more of the old man than I think of him." A gentleman in this place on the 20th of February following wrote to Mr. M. as follows, "I am happy to inform you that your labors with us have been blessed, and 20 have united with our church, the Baptist, since you left Montpelier, and 20 or 30 more will soon join, all of whom date their awakening at the time you lectured here. Brother Kellogg, the Congregationalist minister, is strong in the faith, and his views are with Brother Miller on the second coming of Christ. On the 24th of November, he commenced a series of lectures in Jericho, Vermont, which continued till the 2nd of December. On the 28th of this month, he went to Stockbridge, Vermont, and on the 30th to Rochester, where he continued till the 6th of January, 1839. On the 7th of January, 1839, he wrote to his son from Bethel, Vermont, that he had lectured in those places to large audiences and was on his way to Woodstock. He arrived at that place on the 7th and commenced a second course of lectures which continued to the 14th. From that date to the 20th, he lectured at Pomfret, Vermont, from the 21st to the 27th at Bethel, Vermont, and from the 28th to the 31st at Gaysville, Vermont, from which place he returned home. On the 28th, he wrote from Gaysville to his son, "There has been a reformation in every place that I have lectured in since I left home, and the work is progressing in every place rapidly. The meeting houses are crowded to overflowing. Much excitement prevails among the people. Many say they believe. Some scoff. Others are sober and thinking. Give my love to all, mother and the children. I remain yours, William Miller." On the 10th of March, he commenced in Essex, Vermont, and lectured till the 17th. From the 18th to the 24th, he was at Williston, Vermont, and on the 26th, he commenced another course of lectures at Waterbury, Vermont, which closed on the 1st of April. Having projected a tour into Massachusetts about this time, he was obliged to disappoint a large number who had solicited visits from him. As evidence of the great desire to hear him, he then had on file urgent requests from Frederick Daly, preacher in charge, Northfield, Vermont, with 15 signatures from Stratford, Vermont, expressing a great anxiety on the part of the public to hear a course of lectures. From Joseph Chase, Middlesex, announcing that the meeting house had been opened for him without a dissenting vote, and urging him to come by all means. William D. Levitt, Grantham, New Hampshire, urging his presence there at as early a day as possible. Z. Delano, Hartford, Vermont, wishing him to come as early as practicable. Jonathan Woods, Dover, Vermont, quote, "many people being desirous to hear," close quote. Hiram Freeman, pastor of the Congregationalist Church in Middlesex, Vermont, stating that, quote, "the church would gladly see him and were generally anxious for him to come," close quote. None of which appear to have been complied with.